coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Worth doing badly.
Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK, the internet radio of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England. I'm your host, Jamie Krieger. I am pastor of Resurrection Lutheran Church in Cambridge. At Resurrection, we have adult Bible study at 10 a.m. every Sunday while the children are in Sunday school. At 11 a.m., we gather for the Divine Service with Holy Communion. For more information about our congregation, go to resurrectionlutheran.org.uk. I'm also pastor of the Oxford Lutheran Mission. Pastor Tapani Simeoki and myself take turns to meet with the congregation there at 4:30 in the afternoon at St. Michael's and All Angels every second and fourth Sunday of the month. For more information about this, go to oxfordlutheran.co.uk. If you are nowhere near these congregations, go to lutheran.co.uk. This is the website of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England, and it has information about all our congregations in England, Wales, and Scotland. I am also manager of Lutheran Radio UK. I hope you enjoy listening to our programs as much as we enjoy producing them for you. Find our entire schedule and the podcasts of all our programs at lutheranradio.co.uk. Welcome back to Worth Doing Badly with me, Jamie Krieger, and David Weber. This week, we will be looking at the lessons for the third Sunday after the Epiphany. And the readings are from Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, and then verse 10. The Psalm is 62. The Epistle lesson is Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 9, verses 29 through 31. And the Gospel lesson is from Mark, chapter 1, verses 14 through 20. David, welcome back.
It's good to hear from you, Jamie. Another week, and the third Sunday of Epiphany has us again dealing with John the Baptist, whom I think is the neglected character in the Christmas story. And in fact, I've quipped several times that I would like to have John, and perhaps a headless John, in the nativity scene to remind us of what Christmas is about. And in this Epiphany season, he's the character in which we come to understand that God makes himself known in epiphanies. When it looks as if God is irrelevant or non-existent, all of a sudden the light dawns in the strangest places. Now, in this text, it's a little disconcerting, because the text is going to declare that the kingdom of God is near, and it tells us that Jesus responded to the bad news that John had been arrested by preaching the good news of the presence of God's kingdom. Now later, Scripture tells us that John wondered if Jesus was really the promised Messiah, because God's presence seemed to make no real difference in his life. In fact, his life became markedly worse at the coming of Jesus. Then John discovered that the goodness of the good news does not magically overcome evil. Rather, the goodness of the good news is that God's patient love slowly renders evil irrelevant. The irrelevance of evil, I think, is most beautifully expressed in the words of institution that we weekly declare that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he gave thanks. The kingdom of heaven didn't stop the betrayal. It rendered it irrelevant by Jesus thanking God that this cruel betrayal would become part of the good news. It would be rendered irrelevant, except that it would be part of the way that we tell of God's, the effect of God's presence. It would be made irrelevant, let's say, by becoming a defining part of the story of God's presence, which this text says revolves around repentance and forgiveness. John was arrested. Then Jesus preached the good news, and that good news arrested the terror of the tyrant. Jesus did not free John from prison. He freed him from being terrorized by Herod and made Herod nothing more than a footnote in the story of God's, the presence of God's kingdom. It is now for each of us to experience this gift of repentance that comes with forgiveness, in which we too are promised that it will render irrelevant every tyrannical fear that terrorizes us. Now, of course, that's easy to say. It's much harder to experience, but that is the nature of the promise, and the nature of Epiphany is that when the truth dawns on us, we, like John, can receive the presence of God with gratitude. Now, Psalm 62 tells us a bit more about God's presence in telling us, only in God is my being quiet. Only in God is there found the peace that we desire. And then the psalm goes on to talk about disquieting conditions, which are quieted by God's presence. It's not that the Bible doesn't make remarkable promises. It's just that the promises are so huge and big that they are hard to believe. And so the psalmist considers murder as the disquieting condition. And that's the test case. Can God's quiet overcome the disquieting condition of murder? And how does God's presence render that kind of terror irrelevant? And the psalmist says something very interesting. He says, only breathe. You want to come to grips with what the presence of God is? Take a breath. And you will understand a couple of things the psalm suggests. You will understand that just one breath, the very air that we cannot live very long without, shows our utter dependence on God's goodness. Only breathe also tells us that we are ephemeral. Our existence is, when it's all together, it weighs less than a breath, the psalm goes on. Only breathe. The breath that we take for granted, that is the sign that terror never bestows life, and so it cannot last. God gives breath, and that renders terror irrelevant. Only breathe, says the psalmist, and God communicates through that. Now, Jonah is a bit of a different tact on the presence of God's kingdom. The passage says that the people of Nineveh turned back from their evil way. It's really hard, I think, to believe that repentance is real and that the forgiveness of sins changes everything. John the Baptist thought that his preaching of repentance had failed because he ended up imprisoned and executed. In a different way, Jonah expressed his unbelief and repentance in that he was bitterly disappointed when his preaching of repentance actually hit home, when the people of Nineveh actually heard and acted on this in hopes of forgiveness. See, for Jonah, forgiveness outraged his sense of social justice. He didn't want repentance. He wanted retribution. He wanted payback. He wanted proof that what goes around comes around. And this contrasts with Jesus, who was not outraged by John's arrest, but countered that bad news with the good news that God was present, that repentance was now possible, and forgiveness was promised. John, like Jonah, was confused by this repentance. It seemed that Jesus' message was nonchalant about evil. And Jesus seemed to not care about the life-ruining injustice that Herod was advancing. Their initial response to repentance demonstrates for us just how difficult it is to believe that repentance is real. But their ultimate acceptance of repentance demonstrates the real impact of God's forgiveness in being far more powerful and life-giving than anything that evil can terrorize us with. Now, in 1 Corinthians, Paul takes the theme of forgiveness and repentance and applies it to our existential experience, our daily experience. And the two words that stand out are as not. And as not expresses the freedom of faith that even though it appears that we are one thing, we can live as not being that thing. We can, in fact, stand up to reality and deny it. As not declares that I am not defined by the concrete circumstances around me or my past, but I am defined by the promise of God's presence. So repentance is the greatest existential enjoyment of the freedom of this as not. Even though it appears I'm one thing, I live as not being that thing because repentance denies that my very real weakness and wickedness determines my future. Yeah, of course, sin is real. But repentance and forgiveness, Paul asserts, are more real because they, as Paul says over and over again, they change our experience of time. And it changes our experience of time by transforming our past, which is the way that time terrorizes us about the future. Every time that time generates anxiety about the future, repentance says, from now on, that future is not determined by your weaknesses and wickedness in the past. That future is determined by the forgiveness of sins. Now, John the Baptist shows us just how real worry can be. He also shows us how the forgiveness that changes my past and future is more real than any anxiety. And Paul lays this down and invites us to live this truth out repeatedly as we discover throughout the course of our lives that the life we have is not determined by us, but that it is given by the presence of God.
Thank you once again, David. This is as much as we can do today. I pray this has been very useful to our listeners. Just reminding our listeners that the podcasts of this program, Worth Doing Badly, are available online on our website, lutheranradio.co.uk. Try our app for mobile phones. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the one that is right for you to listen to us on the go. David, once again, thank you very much. We'll talk again next week.
Thank you.